How can your organization benefit from KBS leaders? KBS Interim Executive and Leadership Consulting has more than 120 years of award-winning experience. The dream team at KBS Leaders brings diverse expertise to address the unique challenges and concerns of any organization. KBS Leaders can fill a vacant position, create a strategy, or enhance the effectiveness of leaders or a team. Led by Kim Brown Sims, KBS Leaders creates and transforms leaders of any type of organization, resulting in a more compassionate, collaborative, and focused workplace. Visit kbsleaders.com to learn more. Schedule a consultation to achieve the unimaginable.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
Morning, Napa Valley. Welcome to another edition of All Things Napa. I am your host, Lee W. Miller, and I'm excited to be in the studio today. I'm always excited to be in the studio. Not that this is my full-time job. I do have a full-time job as a realtor, and I love doing that job. But it's always fun to be behind the microphone and help promote local businesses. And that's what this show is all about. I am a self-confessed serial networker. I love connecting people. I love referring clients to other businesses and helping our community's businesses grow. We have a big announcement today because, as some of you know, I have been running this little online contest, and we will be announcing the winner of the online contest in the second half of the show. But let me take this opportunity to encourage you as listeners to reach out to me. Text me at 707-266-1585 or email me at leewmiller@gmail.com because I welcome your suggestions for guests and any feedback that you'd like to give me on the show. And also a special thank you to Narvaez Insurance Services, one of our sponsors, and also kbsleaders.com. I'm a big advocate for these businesses and helping people know that they exist is a big part of this show. So normally at this point, soon after we start, I talk about real estate for 1 minute. We call it the real estate minute, but we're going to skip the real estate minute today because one of our guests is Tiffany Deedy with Old Republic Title, and we'll probably touch on a few real estate things today, so we can forego the real estate minute. And in exchange for that time, I would like to promote the awareness of Napa County Family and Foster Care Program for Christmas. So that is a program that you probably hear about every year. This particular year, it was brought to my attention by New Life Auto Salon. This is a local Napa business, and they've had the honor of supporting this program for multiple years. And Cece reached out to me, Cece with New Life Auto Salon, and asked about getting some airtime. And I'm certainly not going to set a precedent that I'm going to forego the real estate minute for nonprofit promotion because that I could do an entire show promoting nonprofits events, and I like to do that. But this particular program is the one where the children's names and their desired gifts are provided in advance, and we, listeners, have the honor of blessing that child with a gift or maybe two children. And we will also be blessing the foster parent as well. So reach out to Cece with New Life Auto Salon at 254-0227, and Cece will tell you all the information that you need about that program so you can get involved and help a child get a wonderful Christmas gift this year. But I'm not going to skip the Napa nugget. The Napa nugget is one little trivial thing about Napa that I find of interest, and today's Napa nugget is 95% of all Napa Valley wineries are family-owned still. You know, when you live here and you see the big names, I think we tend to forget that these are family-owned businesses, and you see the big corporate names. Well, it's not that way across the valley. 95% are business, our wineries are family-owned. So that is your Napa nugget. And before Tiffany falls asleep, I should probably introduce her. Tiffany, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, this should be fun. This is my first completely unscripted interview. Oh, that's right. I wasn't supposed to tell you that because it would make you nervous.
No pressure. That's me. No pressure.
No pressure, Tiff. Yeah. So, Tiffany Deedy is the manager and or founder?
County manager. I started Old Republic Title in Napa County 16 years ago. I've been in the business for over 20 years. I got into the business because my sister was in it and told me it would be a great career, and it has been. When I opened Old Republic Title 16 years ago, there were 7 other title companies in Napa, and now we're 1 of 4.
Oh. Read between the lines there, listeners. Wow. Don't mess with Tiff. We are talking to Tiffany Deedy. Her friends call her Tiff, so I'm going to call her Tiff.
Thank you.
She likes that. So you're the manager, you're the founder, you're the decimator of other title companies in the valley. What the heck is it that you do?
We do many things. I have many hats. We handle both title and escrow. The escrow portion means that we take all of the funds in. We are neutral third party, so we do not take sides for a buyer or seller, or if you're refinancing
kind of
as
like
the borrower.
The PayPal of real estate.
That's right. And on the for Northern California, we do title and escrow. So we do all the paperwork for the title. We issue title policies. We guarantee title. So all of our premiums are combined with title and escrow fees versus having to do 2 separate companies like they do in Southern California. It's fun.
It's fun, yeah. And it just, I know that the, Northern California, Southern California thing is a little different in terms of the standards. What's interesting is that, somewhere along the line, there's a border. And I always think, well, for this transaction, it's one way. For another transaction, it's another way, because you're right there on the border. Like standing in the four corner states, and you can have a heel and a mm-hmm. foot and all that in 4 different states concurrently. That doesn't happen because you're far enough away from the border.
Correct. We actually can handle any transaction in the state of California for purchase and for refinances. Actually, for everything, we can handle everything within the state. The difference between Northern California and Southern California is in Southern California, the title companies are separate from escrow. So the premiums are substantially higher. You do more independent escrow companies who are not through the Department of Insurance. We're mandated through the Department of Insurance, and we do title and escrow. So it's one-stop shopping.
Okay.
Makes it simpler.
Okay. So have there been some disaster stories of real estate transactions that might make for good radio?
Well, there's always disaster stories, but I'm a
most
fixer.
Most of them are smooth.
I'm a fixer.
These are, yeah.
Exactly. Most of them are smooth. You know, as long as we're told everything up front, You know, we're not getting any trustee that had passed away that we're not aware of, a member of an LLC, a spouse that we're not aware of. We typically can avoid most of those at the time that we run the title report and fix the title.
Okay. I thought of a scenario that I'm curious as if it has ever arisen in your line of work, that an escrow lasts so long that an escrow lasts so long that someone's mental capacity has diminished and they have not signed a power of attorney off to someone else. Can you imagine how it's like, okay, they were of, you know, full capacity to make their own decisions, but they take a turn down the wrong road from a mental health standpoint. And I mean, what would one do in a situation like that?
Well, they would need to get a guardianship or conservatorship from the courts.
Okay.
If that's the case, if the property's in trust, it's much more simplified.
Right.
If it's in trust and the trust allows for a doctor's note, then we can have a successor trustee. The problem prevails when you hold title individually.
Right. So as long as you...
I've had transactions that have been open 10, 12 years, you know, more so on the commercial side where they're still trying to get items taken care of in order to close the escrows.
Okay.
But most of those are LLCs or partnerships or corporations.
All right.
So those allow for those provisions. I think the hardest ones that I see, and you probably see in the real estate side, is when you have a seller who's a hoarder and doesn't want to get out of the property. That seems to be more of an issue of trying to get them to relocate.
So they willingly sell the property, but then don't want to vacate?
They don't want to vacate.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. We've seen
wondering what's
a few
going
of those
on there, in their head when they, I mean, wait a minute, I'm selling my property, but I'm
I don't
not
know
leaving.
Where to go. I don't know where to put all of my stuff.
Okay.
Where can I accommodate it? But I can't afford to have this, whether it's because they've retired or a spouse has passed away. So those seem to be harder with that mental capacity
right.
than for a normal transaction.
Okay. And you've encountered some of those hoarder sales where they willingly sell but don't want to leave. They think they can just become a tenant.
Correct. And where it becomes a problem is if there's a seller carryback and then the seller doesn't want to leave and I'm holding a security deposit.
Okay. Talk more about that. So,
well, again, we're a neutral third party. So if the buyer and seller do not agree to the release of funds, we cannot release funds until everybody's in agreement. So in a situation where there's a rent back, let's say the seller was saying 30 days till they pack their things, and I've held the rent or the security deposit, the buyer is not going to allow the security deposit to be released back to the seller because they're not out of the house.
Okay.
So then we kind of get in the middle because they believe we should be releasing the funds.
And typically you don't moderate any of the communication. You just wait for instructions from the agents that are submitted in writing with client signatures on them. So
correct.
That's what you're acting on.
Correct.
So you're not an arbiter or
not at all.
Okay.
If the things go from bad to worse, then we would send them the funds to an interpleader.
So that you can get out of the middle.
That's right.
Interesting.
Now, have you had transactions like that?
Fortunately, I have not had transactions like that. I've had some challenging clients, but not that challenging.
So. I think that some of the more interesting things we're seeing now are the differences between people wanting solar and doing PACE loans and not necessarily understanding the difference. And with all of these power outages, I think more people are apt to looking into the solar and how that could possibly affect their property depending on the type of solar they do versus a PACE loan.
Right. So let's talk about that a little bit more because when you said the type of solar, mm-hmm. it's not the type of solar as much as it is the financing
Correct.
that they do. So a PACE loan for our listeners is one where you basically are Getting a loan at a very low interest rate, and the balance of that loan is applied to your property taxes, and you're going to pay an incremental amount of property tax for, say, the next 20 years, and then that will pay off that low interest loan. The problem arises when the seller with the PACE loan decides, I'm going to sell the house now. Without paying off that PACE loan, you're basically telling the buyer, you have to assume this loan, and most of the PACE loans are not assumable. And if it's not a PACE loan, it's potentially assumable, but buyers just don't want to assume someone else's solar. It's just a weird thing that if they understood, all they're really doing is paying for their electricity to an entity other than PG&E, it would be fine, but they just don't do that. I've had numerous problems with acting for the buyer and for the seller with solar on the house. So,
and we see it as well. If we're trying to ensure the transaction, are they assuming it? Is it going to be paid off? Is it going to be removed? Is it going to be assumed? Those are for the solar aspect. For PACE loans, it also becomes a problem if the buyer is getting a loan, because the lender requires that the seller pay the PACE loan off. So then we have to decipher how much of the property taxes are part of a PACE loan. And then if the buyer is doing tax impounds on the new loan, it can affect the closing costs that they come in with at closing, because for the PACE loan, depending on the type of year, the time of year that you close, you have to pay off both installments of the PACE loan. So if you're closing an escrow in October and we pay off the loans for the full year's tax installment to the following June, that's a big number for a buyer who's coming in to escrow, who doesn't understand necessarily why they're paying that. And then if they're doing impounds on top of it, the lender's technically taking 2 to 4 months up front and really not paying an installment for another year.
Wow.
So it's very costly. So I think those are important to know the difference, especially when you're looking at property.
Right.
Does this property have solar? Does it have a PACE loan?
And the seller always thinks that the buyer should pay extra for the house, whereas, you know, because, you know, they might have put $30,000 out for that, even if they paid cash for it. But the house appraisal typically doesn't add any value for solar, and I don't understand that. I don't know how long it's going to be before that changes. I mean, it's a tangible asset that should be applying value to that property. And also, insurance doesn't cover, not title insurance, mm-hmm. Insurance doesn't cover. So if my house burns down and my $40,000 solar on the roof goes up with it, there's not even a rider opportunity for that. And I don't know. I mean, solar is still relatively new, but it's not brand new. And you would think that appraisals and homeowners insurance would be addressing that right now. I know that's not your area of expertise, but.
No, I don't disagree with you. When I walk through Costco and they ask me if I have solar, I ask them about their title insurance policy, and it's quite humorous because they don't know what I'm talking about. And I said, come see me when you do. But on PACE loans, you know, they can go get new windows, new
water heaters.
Yeah. So it actually helps the value.
Yeah. Any energy efficiency improvements to the house.
It's just a lot on the property taxes. I'm not sure people are that aware of how much it hits you each installment
right.
to repay that.
Right, because $25,000 or, you know, $20,000, which would be a very small solar system, they're, depending on what improvement that you do to the house, they'll spread it over 10 years, 15 years, or 20 years. So that could be an extra $2,000 a month in your, just the mm-hmm. two increments, you know, even for a small amount. And it all makes sense, but if you're not socking away and you're living paycheck to paycheck, then you're going to run into a problem there. So.
Right.
So Tiffany, what do you do for fun when you're not solving all the world's problems with title insurance and escrow?
I do believe you and I have gone out golfing a couple of times.
You are correct. And I'm telling you what, there is nobody more competitive than Tiffany Deedy when it comes to anything that she can compete with. I mean, we could be playing that little paper football thing with a triangle, folded up piece of paper. And
how are you at ping pong? Is that a challenge?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. I don't know if I'm as good as Scott.
I beat him.
See what I mean there? She wanted to make sure that all the listeners knew that she beat Scott. My buddy Scott Hewen, Hewen Chiropractic. Yes. How many times did you beat him?
Well, I think we played five, and he started to come back, so that's when I had to quit.
No. So he was just
quit while I'm ahead. He was warming up.
And you have a ping pong table at your house.
I do.
Right, see?
I do.
Right there, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. Home court advantage, home table advantage.
Hey, I'm fun. I do lots of stuff for fun. I don't sit around.
All right, what else do you do?
I travel. I spend a lot of time with my kids. I love to travel. I love to be with my animals. But I really do enjoy the golf game. I'm not necessarily good, but I do have a lot of fun. And I like to bring people out to laugh. And I like to make people laugh.
Right.
So
you and I have had plenty of yucks, that's for sure. more to come. So you raised your children here. And you born and raised here?
Born and raised. Born at the Queen of the Valley.
Okay.
Went through St. Apollinaris. Then I went to Vintage. And then I went out to the JC. My kids kind of followed the same path as I did. My daughter's at Chico State to be a civil engineer, and my son's at the JC starting off his business.
Very cool. Very cool.
So I'm very proud of both of them.
All right. What's the goal for Old Republic Title, say, the next 5 years?
I would love to expand to possibly go into more territories for Napa County.
And how does one achieve that?
You have to get good people.
Okay.
So call me.
we were introducing Tiffany and Old Republic Title and educating our listeners a little bit about what Old Republic Title does and how it's turned into a recruiting call and now hiring.
Thank you.
Who's your sales guy?
Oh, my beloved Aaron Anderson.
I know Aaron.
He's a pretty good golfer himself.
Is that why you got the job?
That's pretty much. I was one of the first questions I asked. Do you golf? Now he gets solicited for these golf tournaments.
Yes.
I've won a golf tournament with him.
I've won a golf tournament with him, too. The Friends of Napa County Animal Shelter, Bob's tournament last September. That's only the second tournament that I've ever stood in the winner's circle for.
I usually win for my outfits.
Oh, because there's two categories, one for score and one for attire.
Hey, if you can't play good, you have to look good.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great spot to leave our interview. Tiffany Deedy, thank you very much. Tell the would-be Old Republic Title employees that are listening out there how they're going to reach you if they want a job.
Please give me a call, 707-265-9838, Tiffany Deedy.
All right. Thanks, Tiff.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
KBS Leaders? KBS Interim Executive and Leadership Consulting has more than 120 years of award-winning experience. The dream team at KBS Leaders brings diverse expertise to address the unique challenges and concerns of any organization. KBS Leaders can fill a vacant position, create a strategy, or enhance the effectiveness of leaders or a team. Led by Kim Brown Sims, KBS Leaders creates and transforms leaders of any type of organization, resulting in a more compassionate, collaborative, and focused workplace. Visit kbsleaders.com to learn more. Schedule a consultation to achieve the unimaginable.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
Napa. I'm Lee W. Miller. That was fun talking to my buddy, my pal, Tiffany, and just learning a little bit about Old Republic title and escrow in general. And I just once again want to say, reach out to me at leewmiller@gmail.com and let's see what your input is on the show, the suggestions for guests and whatnot. Now it is time to announce our winner. So I've done a direct mail campaign, basically just to friends. My sphere of influence, there's been mail, there's been email, there's been some emailed videos. And all I said was, all you got to do is text me or call me or email me and just say all things Napa. And the winner of out of the drawing is Danae Toronto. I don't know if Danae is listening right now, but if she is, she will probably send me a text that says yay. So Danae is a winner of a nice bottle of wine from Gabrielle Collection, and also a tasting for two at Gabrielle Collection O'Connell Family Wines right down on 1st and Main. And that was a fun little contest. I think what I'm going to do is extend it for another week, and we'll have two winners. So that should be a fun little thing to do. Okay. Congratulations, Danae. Now it is time for our listing of the week, and I had this all ready to go. This is not in Napa, though. This is a beautiful 125-year-old home in West Oakland. A two-bedroom, one-bath, approximately 1,000 square feet, tucked well off of the street, surrounded by 8-foot fencing and a security gate. It's mere 17-minute drive from the driveway of this house to the financial district in the city. And sure, you could pay $700,000 for a condo and have no dirt, no garden, but why would you do that when you also want to tack on $400 a month in HOA dues? So this is a great house. My buddy Chris is probably listening right now as well. If you're interested in this property or any other property, or just want to talk about real estate, give me a call at 707-266-1585, and let's talk about anything that you want to talk about. Okay, it is time to bring on my friend, Kim Brown Sims. Good morning, Kim.
Hey, Lee. How are you doing today?
I am so excited, and you know why?
Why?
Because today is the start of the Napa Valley Film Festival.
Oh, what a beautiful thing. Do you think there's stars roaming the streets?
There are, and they're going to be in the theaters. They're going to be in venues. This is going to be a star-studded next 5 days.
I think it's amazing. It's a huge draw, and for sure, which I understand is a Northern California term, for sure.
I didn't know that was NorCal.
I didn't either, but I was educated by some millennials.
Oh. Well, that's interesting. My wife and I are absolutely film festival geeks. We love going. We have, I think she said, if we see everything that is on our schedule to see, I kid you not, we're going to see 27 films between now and Sunday evening.
Well, you'll have to give me your critique, or you can give the audience, the listeners, the critique next time you're on the show.
Well, I don't know how well I am at articulating my critiquing, but we do love to critique it just between ourselves. We notice and appreciate really good writing, good acting, also direction when there's something unique from a direction standpoint. Maybe it's a, I'll never forget, I don't remember the movie, but the scene, the director had the camera shooting at a window that was picking up the character in the reflection, and she was talking about the need for her to reflect on her life and make some changes about her life. And I just thought, how cool is that, that he or she, the director, thought about doing that. So
creativity at its finest, right? Multiple ways to send and receive messages.
Absolutely. So we are here with Kim Brown Sims, KBS Leadership. KBSleaders.com. And when we talk about reflecting on one's life, how's that for a segue?
Well, that was beautiful. Well done.
Yeah. emotional intelligence. I've also heard it referred to as EQ, the emotional quotient.
That's true.
My buddy Dave first educated me about 5 or 6 years ago on what that is. So, and he said that I have a plethora of it. That's, you know, when someone tells you that you have a lot of something and it's a good thing, then you remember it. But why don't you tell our listeners from your expert opinion what that actually is?
Well, before we jump into that, I'm curious to know, what did you take from it? I mean, what is your understanding of emotional intelligence, and what of those characteristics that define emotional intelligence do you possess?
Oh, the interviewer gets interviewed.
I'm good at that.
Are you running for office too?
No, I'm not.
I ask you a question, you turn around and ask me.
No, but it is a leadership skill.
Yeah, I bet it is. So once he explained to me what it was, I said, yeah, no, that is me in spades. I have perhaps, if I appreciate your opinion on this, too much emotional intelligence, in that I wear my feelings on my sleeve. I get my feelings hurt easily, thin skin, blah, you know, the euphemisms go on and on. But at the same time, I think that it has helped me in my career as not only in sales, but as a manager and managing people, to not be like all the managers I ever had in my career who were lacking in seemingly any emotional intelligence and just complete narcissists and taskmasters. And I've always wondered why those people seem to rise to the top when they are so bad at being a leader.
So, you know, you and I had that conversation a little bit the last time I was on your show. And the reality is that those individuals, you have to have a certain level of narcissism to be really good in business. Actually, you have to have a sense of self-confidence, direction, you know it all, which are some of the key components of narcissism, right? The key is to have a healthy balance. And there's actually a new term out there. It's called humble narcissism, where you do have that confidence, that strength and knowing, and yet you're open to learning. And that's the difference between a narcissist who is not emotionally intelligent and very caustic to individuals versus the individual who can help create a vision, rally the forces, inspire people, but is still open to hearing other people's opinions and input about direction that should be taken within a business. And that's the key. And those people who are those clear narcissists who keep rising the ranks, it's typically because they meet the financial goals. They get the work done, but they get the work done to the detriment of their team. You'll see people like that who have a high turnover rate. People fall by the wayside. The really really good people leave and the people who do a mediocre job end up turning over and or burning out because they work so hard to try and achieve the goal of this individual. And this individual typically has no empathy for the staff that are there. It's the staff are just a means to an end.
So I'm still sitting back on the term humble narcissist and the oxymoron that mm-hmm. it is, but I want to respond to one thing you said. The people that rise are the ones that get the numbers,
right?
And so that shines a glaring light on the fact that the people at the very top and their metrics are wrong because they are not broad-minded enough to look at a big picture, and they're looking at statistical metrics and making critical business decisions to promote people that meet that criteria. How do we fix that?
So there is a movement afoot. If you listen to the likes of Richard Branson, for instance, who talks about caring for the people at the front line, that type of mentality is becoming more and more prevalent. I'm a member of the American College of Healthcare Executives and the president of the California Association of Healthcare Leaders. And one of the huge elements of success within those two organizations is really looking at how do you tap into the expertise? How do you value your highest commodity, which is your human capital? And so there is a lot of conversation out there. Unfortunately, we still have this structure in the United States and globally as well, hierarchical, top-down, fear-based leadership, because that's the model that has gotten things done. Nowadays, though, there is a movement afoot to having more diverse team members, listening to those members at the table who represent the demographic that you're trying to serve. There is becoming a more clear understanding that you have to have representation and you have to value those who are doing the work because the output that you get will be beyond anything you can imagine. So it is proven time and time again that those individuals who kill their people, if you will, in order to achieve a goal could actually achieve exponentially higher, make higher achievements, bigger achievements, if they actually tapped into the resource that they have. So there's a very slow movement afoot. But just like the idea of gender equality, it is well documented and has been actually discussed quite a bit by Melinda Gates, who has an organization about moving towards equality across the board. It's going to take about 208 years to achieve equality. So
not from the suffragette era.
No, 208 years from now. So if you listen to that kind of conversation, and her whole foundation is focused on accelerating that rate of change so it won't actually take 208 years. But if you think about it, just to have equal representation, if it's going to take us 208 years, it's going to take us at least that long as well to change the culture in the United States to one of listening to the front line and not having that narcissistic leader at the top of the food chain every single time.
Well, the 208 years is... I'm assuming that it's factoring in the resistance.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because we've always done it this way, Lee.
Oh, man, you just made me remember something. When I became VP of sales at Samsung, the telecom division of Samsung for North America, that's the first time I ever had that all-encompassing job that I think I've shared with you before, the first time I've ever had both the authority and the responsibility. Because usually, or no matter what you're doing, you got a responsibility to bring in numbers or get a job done, but you don't have the authority to do it however
That's correct.
You want to do it. So I'm in this position and I'm looking at the processes that were in place and this and that, and I'm scratching my head and I'm asking my assistant, also, first time I ever had an assistant. That was kind of cool. Why this? Why that? And she said, the way it's always been done.
It's the way we've always done it. It is the bane of many leaders' existence.
And I was just so frustrated by that, because even though I finally had the authority, it was really difficult for me to implement the changes that to me were so common sense and basic. Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine there would be in any opposition to them, and yet there was, simply because they were different.
Right. People are comfortable with the status quo. They're comfortable with the way we've always done things because it doesn't require them to get out of their own box or get out of their own way. They like things to be predictable. But you won't ever achieve the unimaginable, which is one of the taglines of my business. You won't achieve the unimaginable if you continue to do the same thing and expect a different outcome. As a matter of fact, that definition and of itself means insanity.
Exactly.
You know, doing the same thing over and expecting a different outcome. And, you know, there are a lot of industries where we continue to do the same thing over and we try to attack it from different perspectives, but the reality is we haven't changed how we do it, so it's not going to change globally. And healthcare is one of those things, which is my area of expertise in the last 35 years. So.
But the principles and that you're bringing as KBS leaders obviously is not limited to just healthcare.
It is not. And, you know, the reason is because leadership qualities are global. They're globally either accepted or not accepted. And everyone has the capability to develop their leadership skills. As a matter of fact, I'm a huge proponent of what I call everyday leaders, because we each lead by our actions and words every single day. We can influence people that we work with, people within our family, folks that we meet on the street. And so it's really about understanding your own sense of self-worth, what you bring to the table, and focusing on your purpose and your passion and aligning your words and actions with those two elements, purpose and passion, in everything that you do. And in as much, you're leading by example.
Right. To wrap up on my other point,
sure.
My assistant, I had written down the way it was always done,
mm-hmm.
and I turned it around. I said, "You're telling me this is why we can't get these things done." And long story short, it became an acronym, TWIWAD, the way it was always done, TWIWAD.
Mm-hmm.
And so she went out and made me a tablet of paper with that acronym, with the circle around it, with a slash through it for mm-hmm. no TWIWAD. And I use that in my sales meetings to, you know, kind of shake things up and say, it doesn't matter that TWIWAD, this is what we're going to do now. And I use that to convince the president to cancel 251 of our existing dealers. And that was really cool. So,
you know, I think that, again, the way things have always been done really is an impediment. And when I come into organizations, I typically assess what is being done, what's going well, what needs some different focus. And I say, it's a new day. How can we attack this differently? And I want to hear what they have to say. And I want to understand how they have known how we should do things versus how it's always been done. Because I can tell you that the frontline experts know how it needs to be done.
Right.
They know how to do things more efficiently, and they've always done it that way because no one ever asked them how it could be done differently.
Right. Or they might have even suggested it to the higher-ups.
Way back when,
yeah.
But times change, and you have to be fluid. You have to be dynamic in order to survive in today's marketplace, no matter what industry you're in.
Right. So there's a very good chance that there's listeners right now mm-hmm. that this is resonating with, but they're not in the position to make the changes. They're the ones underneath
right.
that know how the changes should be made. How do they, through you or not through you, how do they get that achieved? They know what they should do. They've tried talking to the boss man mm-hmm. or the boss woman, and it's not going anywhere.
You know, I'm very open to having dialogue with individuals. That's part of what I do in my business is I coach executives and I coach leaders and I coach individuals who want to become leaders to have the skill set to be able to approach and propose ideas on change to teams and also to their leaders. So many times I tell people, if you have a great idea, rally support from your peers. You know, get in front of them and say, hey, I've got this idea. What do you guys think about that? Or even individuals who report up through them, say, hey, I've got this idea. How would this look? How could we achieve this? And garner a little support and do a small test of change. And when you have a proven concept, then you can go to the leader and say, you know, we decided we were going to try this little test of change and look at the great outcome we got from that. I'd like to see if we can't spread that, you know, further throughout the organization. So sometimes it's just doing it. Just take a little try and see what the outcome is.
Well, that would fall in the category as better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
That's kind of how I've lived my life.
I vacillate back and forth. I pretty much just fall in line, I think. But
well, most people do because right. It's comfortable. You're not outside the box. So many people really do work from a place of fear, unfortunately, because, you know, it's expensive to live in this world. And so you have to have the finances to support yourself, your family, your goals, your dreams, the roof over your head. And so people truly come from that place of, I'm just going to keep my head down and do my job because I don't want to make waves and I don't want to take the risk of losing my job. You know, I challenge people to say, who are you? What is your passion? What is your purpose? And is the work that you're doing, which happens to be the majority of your life,
yep,
does it align with those purpose, with that purpose and that passion? Because honestly, when you put out into the world what it is that you want to do, the world opens up and provides for you. But you have to come from a place of abundance. Like, I already am grateful for X, Y, and Z that I have in my life. And I really want to see change here, and go out and start having conversations with people about that change or about your passion or how you see a vision unfolding. People rise up and they want to help you. I'm amazed by it every time I see it happen, and it happens over and over and over again. But if you keep your head down and you say, I'm afraid of losing my job and I'm not ever going to have enough, that's exactly where you're going to stay.
Yeah. The funny, when you first said fear in what you were just describing, I knew what you meant. The context was clear, but yet in my head, I thought of fear of success.
There's that too.
Which is, I see that so much. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it in myself.
Right. Well, I actually recently went to a presentation by a young lady named Lacey Phillips, and she was talking about blockers, and blockers being the things that keep you from achieving whatever your wildest dream is. And typically it's some trauma that has occurred early on in your life. And now, you know, I'm not going to go down the road of you need therapy and blah, 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 right. But we all respond to our current situation because of our experiences of prior situations, prior times in our lives. And so if you have something that keeps you from feeling as if you can be successful, that's a blockage. And that's the component to work on. A huge part of what I do when I'm working with individuals is talk about their sense of self-worth, because that's where it starts. Do you have a high self-regard, which happens to be a component of emotional intelligence, which is what we started, you know, the conversation with. But how do you hold yourself? Do you hold yourself in high self-regard? Do you say to yourself, I deserve to go out and exercise every day, whether it's take a walk or take a few moments to have a meditative moment? Do I give myself the time and the regard to fill myself with the positivity that's going to help me move forward? Or do I say, I don't have enough time, I need to keep myself busy because my self-worth is predicated off of being busy and or achieving goals that someone else set for me? So, you know, if you don't start...
Get out of my head. Get out of my head.
And my head too. I mean, this is constant work. It's constant work. I mean,
that's what's so bizarre about it is that I can hear you say that and have it resonate so strongly with me and then
don't do anything about it.
That and need to hear it again tomorrow. And that's why I'm just so excited for you and this business, that what the value that you can provide to so many people once they become aware of what it is that you provide. And you're not talking about just, hey, I want to meet the CEOs of companies and I want to help transform companies. You're talking about the underlings and everybody in between to make them better at their job or prep them for their next job or just overall improve the quality of their life by having them recognize what's keeping them back or the inaction or the action or the mistakes that they've made and the whatever that trauma was and all of those different things. It's just so exciting.
It's true. This is my passion. It's been my passion for a long time, that whole elevating people, right, helping them achieve whatever it is that they put in front of themselves. I mean, I'm a huge proponent of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I may have said this before because I say it frequently. And she said, you know, people should be able to achieve whatever their abilities allow them to achieve without having artificial barriers placed in front of them. And I am very much about that. What do you want to achieve? And what is the root that's keeping you, the root obstacle, the blockage that's keeping you from being able to achieve that goal? So it's widespread. It's not only how we talk to ourselves, it's also what society has done to place obstacles in front of people to keep them from being able to achieve whatever their talents allow them to achieve. So, you know, my purpose and my passion is widespread, but when it comes to working with individuals, it's really about who are you, what do you want to do, and how do you hold yourself in self-regard? Do you speak to yourself kindly as if you would be speaking to your best friend? So, for instance, your best friend comes on a challenge. You don't say to them, God, I don't know how you got to that place. Oh, my goodness, that was the dumbest move you could have made. You say, hey, we all face challenges. Tell me more about what's happening with you. How would you have liked to see that be different? You know you have capability to do that. That's how we talk to our friends. That's not typically how we talk to ourselves. Right. We berate ourselves first. And until we get to a place where it's commonplace to say, you know what, I'm going to give you a buy on that self. Everybody has those challenges, and it's what you do with the information that you've gained from that outcome that wasn't what you desired that really dictates how worthy you feel. And so it's about claiming your power. And I know that's kind of cliche, claiming your power, but it's really saying to yourself what you would say to your best friend.
Right. And it's easy to say that, but it's a little more difficult.
So hard to
actually make it happen. But our listeners can make that happen. All they have to do is reach out to Kim Brown Sims. Go ahead and tell them how to get in touch with you, Kim.
You can get onto my website, kbsleaders.com, and there is a form that you fill out, and that will immediately send a link to me to schedule an appointment with you. You're also welcome to give me a call, 530-574-0430. To schedule time with me. I am very much open and willing to speak with anyone. And I do give free 30-minute consultations for the first call just to see if it's a good fit and our philosophies align.
Wonderful. So if you didn't get that information, you can always reach out to me. We've had numerous listeners reach out and say, I didn't catch the estate attorney's name and so on and so forth. LeeWMiller@gmail.com or 707-266-1585. Thank you so much for being here, Kim. I look forward to our next opportunity to be in studio together, which I know we have on the calendar. I just don't remember the date right now, but stay tuned, everyone, and you can hear more from the lovely Kim Brown Sims. Remember, live your life like your legacy matters because it does. Take care.
You 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
How can your organization benefit from KBS leaders? KBS Interim Executive and Leadership Consulting has more than 120 years of award-winning experience. The Dream Team at